Jesus, Jesus, we worship you. All right. Well, hey, welcome to Shift. We are so excited you're here. You guys can take a seat. Say hi to someone on your way down. Say what up, what's cracking. Listen, if this is your first time to Shift, we just want to say welcome. We are so glad you're here with us. My name's Beth, for those of you who don't know. Our band's awesome, man. Let's give it up. They're all volunteers, okay? That's the real deal. All right, so today I'm super excited. You know, a lot of you guys know last two Wednesdays ago what happened. There's a tragedy that took place. Yeah, they're bringing my door here. There's a tragedy that took place a couple Wednesdays ago. Many of you know that people walked into the regional center with guns and 14 people lost their lives 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday. And tonight we're talking about God is with us. You know, that Wednesday morning, God spoke to me. And I remember sitting in at my office, and I remember talking with my sister, and I said, I just feel like on Friday, in a couple weeks, when Shift is back, I just feel like God wants us to talk about God is with us. I just feel like God is going to need to remind the people that God is still there. I began to talk with her, and I just feel like this overwhelming feeling that there might be some doubts of how good our God is, and I didn't know what would be happening hours later. I didn't know that just hours later, we would get a call that somebody walked into the regional center just a few blocks away, and that 14 people would lose their lives, and I didn't know that later that day that the San Bernardino Police Department would call the Rock Church and say, hey, listen, we have hundreds of victims here with nowhere to go. Can we bring them to the Rock? I didn't know that we were going to open up our doors and that hundreds of people would walk into this room with blood, other people's blood on their clothes. I didn't know that was going to happen, but God did. And I believe he has a special word for us tonight. I believe that God knew what was coming, and I believe that God had something prepared for us already, for our hearts. So go and turn to Matthew in the first chapter. Matthew, the first chapter. God is with us. Can you all just say that with me? God is with us. In Matthew, the first chapter, there is an angel that comes to Joseph. An angel comes to Joseph and he says, listen, your girlfriend, she's about to have a baby. And it ain't yours, all right? Now, you all know Joseph was tripping a little bit. He was like, who is he? Who is he, right? So here Joseph is told by an angel, listen, Mary's going to have a baby, but don't worry, don't trip. She didn't cheat, okay? You don't need to go on the Morris Show. It's all good. It's going to be okay. This baby is going to be from the Holy Spirit. And it says his name will be called Jesus, and he will save the people from their sins. And then it goes on to say in chapter 1, verse 23, it says, look, they're quoting a prophecy from Isaiah. It says, look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son. And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. I have always loved Christmas. Anyone love Christmas? Like, you were just all about it, right? Or, okay, Thanksgiving or Christmas? Thanksgiving, if you love it more, raise your hand. Or Christmas? Dang, I see you. Okay. So I've always loved Christmas, and I've always loved that name, God is with us. Emmanuel. And I don't know, maybe you're out there, and maybe it was because there was times I felt alone. Maybe it was because there was times I could remember a little girl just thinking of God is with me. God is with me always. I remember thinking that it brought comfort to me because I wonder if maybe because there was times that I did feel broken. And there was times that I did feel abandoned. And there was times where I did feel like nobody was with me. But just hearing those words, God is with us. And as we get into tonight, I believe that God wants us to be reminded that God is with us always. But I think there's a catch to it, and it's this. God is with us as much as we allow him to be. God is with us always as much as we allow him in. Does that make sense? You see, God wants to be like all up in your grill. God wants to like have his hands in every part of your life. But oftentimes we say, you know what, this part of my life, I'm going to have to say, you just need to back it up. Like, I need my bubble. Like, you need to back it up, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are telling the Holy Spirit to get out of the way. And oftentimes, it's not like we do it on purpose. I mean, all of us, we pray the prayers, oh God, you know, come into my life and do this and change me and this and that. But oftentimes, what we do without realizing it is we are kind of pushing God off of certain things. And this is often what it looks like, because I'm like a super visual person. I don't know which way this opens. I'm like super visual, so everything in my head has to be like a picture. But I feel like oftentimes this is what we do, right? We are like on this side with God, and we're like, oh my gosh, Lord, come into my life, change my relationships. Oh my gosh, God, come into my school life. I need to get those A pluses. Can I get an amen? How many of y'all are in your exams right now? You know, okay. Man, God, come into my work life because I'm about to punch out my boss if he says one more thing, right? And we're like begging Jesus and we're all about it. But then when it really comes down to it, it's like we step to this other side and we're like, you know what, God, you stay right there. And God's like on the other side like, I have never went to a friend's house and they say, could you just step outside for about 20 minutes? We don't want you in here. It was great hanging out, but. Yeah, and we do that to God. We pray and we beg and we say all kinds of things. But the reality is that we leave him on the other side. You know, in our relationships, we're saying, man, God, I just want my relationship with my mom to be better. I just want my relationship with my husband or my wife or my girlfriend or my boyfriend. I just want it to be different. But then we kind of step on the other side. We say, God, you just hold up. And then when you get into the relationship, you do your own thing. You didn't really pray about what the relationship was going to look like. You didn't really speak any verses over yourself. You didn't really take the Bible and actually open it up and say, what does the Bible say about my relationships? Maybe some of us were praying at our workplace. Man, how many, don't raise your hands, but there's some of you in this place. You go to a job that you dread. You work with coworkers that you hate, if you're honest. I remember I used to have a job that I would dread going to. Oh, I would emotionally prepare myself. I was like, okay, Beth, when you wake up in the morning, you gotta go there. And I dreaded it and I hated it. And so we're on this side and we're saying, God, I hate this job and I hate this, and we're praying and we're saying we want things, but then we don't really do anything about it. We're not really praying for our coworkers. Did you know that the Bible says to pray for your enemies? Pray for those who you can't stand. Did you know that the Bible has verses that you can speak over yourself? Did you know that the Bible has verses that can change your work life? Did you know that when opportunities come your way and that coworker says that thing to you, and you have like a split second to decide, am I going to cuss them out real quick or am I going to hold my tongue? You see, all of this, all of those things, praying, reading the word of God over yourself, all of that decides whether you let God in or not. You see, when you don't read the word of God, when you don't pray over yourself, you're just closing the door on God. But then when something bad happens, you're like, come on, get in here. You best hurry up to Jesus, right? You bust that door open, you're like, where you been? Where you been? And God's like, I've been knocking on the other side. You see, Joshua says, meditate on the word of God day and night. Meditate on it. Open it up. Do something with it. Man, maybe you've been saying to yourself, man, God, I just want to forgive this person in my life. I just want to fix this relationship. And you've been asking God to help you. And God's saying, I'm with you always. I want to be a part of it. But then we don't do anything about it. And you know who gets blamed in the end? God. You see, he's always on this side saying, I want to be with you. I want to pursue you. I want to be part of your life. But we keep shutting the door. Did you know that there's this verse in the Bible that says that God will pursue you all the days of your life? Now, some of us, you remember the days you used to Jesus juke? You'd be like trying to lose Jesus, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, don't lie up in here. You were Jesus juking. You were trying to lose him. You were trying, man, he was following you all the days of your life. Some of you are still, God is still pursuing you. He's still after you. He is hot on your tail, and he is like speaking to you, and he's waiting for you. But God says, I will pursue you all the days. When you go into sin, I'm still there to forgive you. Man, when you make your mistakes, I'm still there to welcome you back. That's our God. But how many know there is a difference between pursuing and being in a relationship? Men, okay, you know there's a difference between pursuing a girl and stalking. No, I'm just kidding. There's a difference. Can someone get amen up in here? There's a difference between pursuing a girl and being in a relationship with her, right? You can pursue her all you want, but that don't mean you're in a relationship with her. You see, too many of us, we are still living like God is pursuing us and we're not in that relationship. Because when you're in a relationship, you share. When you're in a relationship, you let them in. When you're in a relationship, there's nothing you hold back. And God's saying, listen, I'm with you always, but you have to let me in. We have to start opening the Word of God and speaking it over ourselves. Man, there's verses for everything, you guys. There's verses for everything. And when you begin to read it, it does something to your spirit. It does something to who you are. You know, maybe you're on the other side and you're saying, man, there's my thought life. I just deal with anxiety. And I just deal with, you know, negative thoughts. And I'm so insecure and this and that. And you're saying, I want to do something about it, but I can't control my thoughts. Actually, Romans says you can. In the book of Romans, it says that you can renew your mind. You see, it says that you can take every thought into captivity. It means you can control your thoughts. And the interesting thing about that is this. Is science has proven that the Bible is true. That's right. Science is catching up to the Bible every single day. Amen. You see, our brain is very interesting. Our mind controls our brain. And I want to break this down for you because some of you really deal with your thought life. And you're kind of blocking God out right now because you feel like it can't be fixed. And you feel like it's just too big. But inside our brains, I want to explain this, is our brains are made of neurons and all kinds of things, and our thoughts are real. You see, as I'm speaking, you are building thoughts. Every single day, you build thoughts. Your brain works at over 400 billion actions per second. Can anyone say we were beautifully, wonderfully, intelligently made? Right? So here your brain is, as I'm speaking, you are building thoughts, and thoughts actually take up real mental real estate. That means they are physical. They are made up of protons and other neurotransmitters, right? So inside your brain, every thought, it begins to grow. It usually looks like, you know, like a little bump, and it kind of grows into this like mushroom-looking thing. And then your thoughts actually grow into what looks like trees. I think they're called dendrites. And they look like these trees. And the interesting thing is that the more that you think about that thought, the healthier and bigger that it grows. But this is interesting too, is the less you think about it, it begins to get smaller and disintegrate, and soon it disappears. So if it's a negative thought that is tormenting you, if it's anxiety, if it's these insecurities that are tormenting you and you're saying, I can't do it. No, but the Bible says that you can. You can renew your mind. You can physically try to stop thinking about those thoughts, and guess what? It will disintegrate. And in the same way, when you begin to think about positive thoughts, you begin to think about the Word of God, you begin to think about how God made you on purpose with a purpose, guess what? Those thoughts get stronger and stronger. You see, God is saying, I'm with you in everything. Do we see it? He is with us in every single part of our lives if we allow Him, if we let Him in. You know, in Daniel, turn there, in Daniel in the third chapter, there's a story. If you ever want to read something that's just a trip, read through Daniel. God does so many incredible things. But in Daniel in the third chapter, we see three men. You see, there's a man by the name of King Nebuchadnezzar, and he came in, and he took over the land, and he changed everything up, and we find Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and these are three Jews. And he began, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, he loved himself. Have you all met people, they just love themselves, you know what I'm saying? Like, whoa, okay? Their Instagram is like all selfie nation, okay? That was him. If he had an Instagram, it would be all selfies, I promise. And so here he is, and he loves himself so much, he says, you know what, I'm going to make you worship me as a god. And he actually builds an idol, a huge statue of himself. And he says to everybody, he says, listen, anytime you hear this music play, I don't know, it's probably like Kanye West or something, I don't know. Anytime you hear this music play, you drop to your knees and you worship this idol. Now to these Jews, they didn't worship him. They worshiped their God, the God that we serve, Jesus Christ. And so here, they began to wonder, what am I going to do when the music plays? What am I going to do when everybody's on their knees and us three are standing by ourselves? And so the music began to play. They made the decision they weren't going to bow, but rather they were going to stand and only worship their God. And we pick up in verse 16 of chapter 3 of Daniel. And after they didn't bow, people went to King Nebuchadnezzar and they began to tell him, hey, there's these three Jews and they refuse to worship you. What are you going to do about it? And he says, listen, we're going to make sure that they pay for this. And he goes to them and he says, if you don't bow to worship me, you will be burned alive. Easy as that. And I love what they say. In verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God whom we serve is able to save us. But then they say this, he will rescue us from your power and your majesty. But even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship your gold statue you have set up. And it says that he went into a rage when he heard this. It says that he went to the place where they were going to burn him alive. And they said, you know what? Heat it up 7 times hotter than it is. In fact, it was so hot that the soldiers who were putting on the fire, they actually burned alive themselves. And I love what happens next in verse 23. It said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, securely tied, fell into the roaring flames. But then suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? They said, yes, we certainly did. Then he said, look, I see four men unbound walking around in the fire unharmed. And the fourth looks like a god. Then Nebuchadnezzar came as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace and shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. You see, there was someone else inside that fire who kept them safe. You know what's the most crazy part of this story? It's not the fact that, you know, that they were unharmed. It's not the fact that all this even happened. The craziest part of this story is that Jesus didn't stop them from going in the flames. The craziest part of this story to me is that Jesus wasn't standing there saying, no, you're not going to be touched out of flames, don't worry. Jesus didn't keep them from going in the fire. but he was with them in it through it all. You see, Jesus isn't always going to keep you out of the flames, but he's going to be with you through the fire. That's our Jesus. He's saying, I'm with you always, through it all. You know, after the shooting, I was telling the volunteers, I never got so many texts or calls from my unsaved friends in my life. I was like, okay, I see you, okay. And they were calling me up and they were saying, so about this shooting, how do you feel about this? Because, you know, your God failed. They said, how do you feel? Because this kind of shows that your God doesn't exist. And I was like, huh? I said, who? I said, who you been talking to about God? Because this doesn't prove he doesn't exist. I said, my Jesus don't play around. My Jesus has always told the truth from the beginning. In fact, Jesus promised there would be hard times. You see, Jesus promised that there would be trouble. I said, if anything, this kind of proves he does exist, because he kind of told that this was going to happen. But you can keep your ideas. It's all good. Like, whatever. You see, in John 16:33, I love this. John 16:33, Jesus is speaking. And he says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Because here on earth, there will be trials and sorrows. Because here on earth, there will be troubles and devastation. Because here on earth, there will be where you feel like God failed you, and there's going to be frustrations. He says, there's going to be sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. He says, but don't trip. Don't lose your head. It's going to be okay. He's already taking care of it. But he never says it's not going to be there. He never says there's not going to be flames in your life. He never says there's not going to be times where you have to step out in faith and believe for healing. He never says that there's not going to be times where you feel lonely. He never says that there's not going to be times where you're questioning, hey, God, what is going on? But he says, but don't worry, because I'll be with you through the flames, through the fire, through the pain, through the trouble. I'll be with you through everything. That's Jesus. But I love what they said. Go and go back to Daniel, third chapter. As the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you. Because if we are thrown into the flaming fire, the God whom we serve is able to save us. But then they said this, but even if he doesn't, but even if we burn alive, but even if God doesn't come through, we will still serve him. You see, they had to make a decision. Am I going to cling to the things of this world? Am I going to cling to my family? Am I going to cling to the things that I have on this earth? Because can I tell you, those things are not eternal. They will fade away. One day my body is going to be laying down and there's going to be nobody in it, and it will go back to the dust of the earth because it's not eternal. They had to make a decision. Am I going to cling to the things of this world, or am I going to cling to the only eternal thing I have, and that's God? You know, in October, we saw that there was a man who walked in to community college in Oregon. He had a gun, and he walks up to a professor, and he shoots the professor in the classroom. And he walks in, and he looks at everyone, and he says, if you're a Christian, stand up. Nobody moved. He said, I said, if you're a Christian, stand up. Slowly, students began to rise from their seats. I could just imagine what was going through their minds. Nobody knows I'm a Christian. I don't have to stand up. I could stay seated. I'll still get to see my family. I'll still get to finish what I wanted to do on this earth. They stood up. And he said to them, good, you're a Christian. Go and meet your maker. And he shot them. One woman, she was 44 years old, has two children. She had to make a decision. Am I going to cling to the things of this world? Or am I going to cling to the only eternal thing I have? And that's Jesus. You see, we cannot cling to what's here on this earth. The Bible describes this earth as but a vapor. And God's saying, I'm with you through it all. No matter where it is, no matter what's going on, no matter the trouble that's ahead, He is with us. That's our God. You see, we have to make the decision. Are we going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, where they said, listen, I am not going to bow. I know you're trying to put fear into me, but I'm sorry, I'm not going to bow. I'm going to stand for my Savior. You see, church, there's a time coming where we have to know where we stand. We have to say, listen, I am not going to bow to the social pressures. I'm not going to bow to the political pressures. I'm not going to bow to the anxiety that the devil's trying to put on me. I am not going to bow to the things that are trying to overtake me, but I'm going to stand for Jesus. That's our place. That's where we belong, standing, not bowing to something else. Not bowing to a sin in our life. Not bowing to a relationship. You see, we got to stand for Jesus. And the only way we can do that is if we're not clinging to the things of this world. Because they said themselves, but even if he doesn't, we want to make it clear to you, your majesty, that we will never serve your gods or worship any other thing except our God. That's us. You know, there's this verse in Philippians. I want you to turn there. Philippians 4:13. I've read this before, and I just feel like, man, God wanted to show us something new through it. Philippians 4:13, Paul is writing this verse. And he writes it, and many of you know it, for I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And oftentimes we hear this verse and we think, okay, I can do anything through God who strengthens me. We almost get this idea that, you know what, as long as I'm on Team Jesus, everything's going to be perfect. Everything's just going to be okay. But you know where Paul was writing this verse from? He was in prison. He was in chains. And I almost want to just like reach through the scriptures and be like, hey, Paul, you know you're in prison, right? You really can't do all things, okay? Like, let's be real, okay? You've chained up. But he writes this verse, but I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In fact, he even writes earlier, he has the audacity to say, he says, me being in prison has actually helped me spread the gospel. And so as I'm reading this, so much confusion is going through my head. But if you read the verse before, it says, I know how to live on almost nothing or almost everything. I learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or with little. And so what Paul is really saying, if you read all of the chapters, he's saying, listen, my life has been so nuts over the last couple of years. Like, he's like, for reals. Like, it's been a trip. I've seen such poverty in my life, but yet I've seen where God has, like, come through in so many ways. There's been nights where I went to bed with no food. Then there's been nights where God has provided me anything that I wanted. There's been times where I've failed so badly, and there's been times where I've seen such victory. There's been times of such great opposition, and there's been times where God has just made a way through. And he's saying, but I can live in both because Jesus is in me. He says, I can find humility in success because Jesus is in me. But I can still find hope in failure because Jesus is with me. And as he's writing these words, he is literally in prison. And I want to give you more of context of what's going on historically at that time. When Paul is, around the time Paul is writing this, there is great persecution among the Christians. You see, the early church, when Jesus came, he walked on the earth, he died on the cross for us, and he rose again. There was emperors at that time in Rome. They were cruel. They were crazy. Rome was a a crazy place at the time. In fact, they would fill coliseums with people. And people would go there on Saturdays for fun to watch gladiators murder each other. That's what they would do. You and me, we go to the movies, okay? Imagine a first date like that. You wanna go see people get murdered, okay? Not as romantic people. So here they are. This is the time that they're living in. But something began to happen. Jesus came. And he brought hope. And he brought salvation. And he brought truth. And so the early church began to spread. Christians began to get saved and tell other people about Jesus and tell other people about Jesus. And now the church was growing. But that wasn't good for Rome. How many of you have ever said, hey, listen, Jesus loves you in a public place? How many of you ever said, Jesus is Lord, or I love God in a public place? Anybody? You see, back then that was illegal. Because Caesar was God. If you were to say anyone else was God except Caesar, that was illegal at the time. And so Paul is charged with speaking for an illegal religion, which is Christianity as we know it. And so here the early church is living in this time, and something happened. The emperor at that time, Emperor Nero, he didn't like what was going on with the church. And something happened in 64 AD. Maybe you read about it in your history books. It's called the Great Fire of Rome. You see, what happened is one day a fire began to consume Rome. It took people, it took buildings, it even took the Colosseums. And the fire began to consume Rome. It said that Emperor Nero himself started the fire for one reason, to blame it on the Christians. And so now the Christians are being persecuted for burning down Rome, and they're gathering them up one by one, taking every Christian they can. And during this time, Emperor Nero is building a new Colosseum with one purpose: to crucify the Christians in. This is history. This is truth. This is our early church. This is our brothers and sisters who went before us. And so he builds this Colosseum, and the day finally comes. If you could imagine with me being a Christian, being pushed into the bottom of this Colosseum. You don't know what's going on. You're in chains. And all you can hear is the roaring crowd outside, and you don't know what waits. And all of a sudden, you hear this sound from behind the walls. The sound of roaring lions and animals. And I can imagine the conversations that happened in that room. I can imagine the things that the Christians were saying to each other. Maybe encouragement. Maybe there was doubt. Maybe they were saying, maybe I should have just given up this Jesus. Then I could be free. But all of a sudden, the doors open and the light blinds them, and half the Christians are taken out. And the doors close again, and you're still on the inside, and all you can hear is roaring lions and people screaming and the crowd going wild. And you know, your brothers and sisters, they gave their life to Jesus in that moment. And so you're waiting. You don't know what's next. And all that you know is they keep saying, if you just say that Jesus isn't real, if you just admit that Jesus isn't the Messiah, we'll let you go. You say, no, I'm not going to bow. And so the doors finally open, and you hear the sound of hammers banging. And during this time, that would have been a very common sound. And you know that they are preparing the cross for your crucifixion, just like your Savior. And here they are, they bring you out one by one. They line you up in front of the cross that you will be crucified on. And they give you another shot. They say, if you just admit that Jesus isn't Lord, we will let you go. You say, no, Jesus is the Messiah. And so they lay you down on your cross, and they begin to hammer in the nails one by one into your hand, into your legs. And they pull you up, and the excruciating pain from your hands and the suffocation that you're feeling. And now they come up with a fire and a torch, and they say, if you just say you were wrong, just admit it, Jesus isn't the Messiah. We'll let you go. And you say, no, Jesus is Lord. And they light the crucifixion. You see, that was our church. That was the people that began everything for us. And I remember reading through history, reading all of this, and reading through Acts, and reading all of Paul's scriptures that he writes. And I remember going to God, and I said, God, I don't understand this. I really don't get this. Like, what happened? What went wrong here? And I said, God, I feel like they knew something I didn't know. Because sometimes I feel like it's really hard to be a Christian. And sometimes I feel like it's really hard to feel persecuted, even though, like, their persecution and my persecution look nothing alike. Like, mine's more like a dirty look, and I'm like, oh, God, take me now, Lord, you know? Or maybe a comment on Facebook, you're like, okay, okay. Those commenters, man, they'll get you. And so I was really frustrated with God, and so I went on a run one day, and I was running, and I was just praying, and I was like, God, just speak to me. Man, this is like ruining me. What is going on? And I remember God speaking to me, and I'm not saying this is the word of God. I'm not saying this is right for all mankind in all places, but I'm saying this is what God told me. And I said, God, what did they have that I didn't? He said, Beth, they understood one thing. That Jesus was the reward. They understood that Jesus was the prize. They understood that once they had Jesus, that was everything. They understood that once they had Jesus in their life, nothing else mattered. Because the truth is that oftentimes I treat Jesus like a means to an end. You know what, God, if you just do this for me, then I'll keep serving you. Oftentimes, it's the blessings that are going to come that keep me going. Anybody else? You know, the reality is that when they were standing there below the Colosseums waiting, knowing that there's only a few moments left in their life, they knew the next blessing they were praying for wasn't coming. They knew that next job that they were believing for, guess what? It wasn't going to be there. They knew that relationship that they desired, or that baby they wanted to have, or that husband or wife that they wanted. They knew it wasn't coming. And oftentimes, that's what keeps me going. But they understood that those things weren't what they were after. They were after Jesus. And once they got him, they knew they had everything. Because Jesus is everything. He's everything. And if we could get that as the church, if we could understand that when we have Jesus, we have everything, that he is with us always, that when we have Jesus, we have joy, that when we have Jesus, man, we have peace, that when we have Jesus, man, we have purpose. You see, when you have Jesus, you have identity again. When you have Jesus, you don't have to fear anything. They understood that Jesus was everything. And I just want that to be something that Shift gets. I just want that to be something that we understand in our lives. Because maybe life will begin to look different. Maybe our perspective will begin to change if we could see Jesus as everything. You know, we don't have to be afraid of what's going on right now in San Bernardino. In the world, we don't have to be afraid because we have the Savior. Because we have a God who is with us always, a God who is with us in the flames. We don't have to be scared because when you call upon Him, He'll be there. In fact, Jesus is called the Prince of Peace, He is the originator of peace. He is the creator of peace. And hey, listen, if I'm going to get anything from anybody, I want it to be the creator, the originator, the writer of peace, right? How many of y'all remember back in the day when you'd be doing homework and you ask your parents for help and they would just jack you up? And you're like, did you even go to school? Like, what? No, what? You see, when I want help with something, I don't want my mom, who hasn't been in school in like 100 years, okay? You know who I'd like? I would like the person who wrote the math book to come and help me. So can I tell you, when I'm going through troubles, you know who I want? I want the person who wrote out this life. I want the person who wrote out peace. I want the person who is the originator of peace. You see, our God is not the originator of evil, tragedy, or darkness. He's a good God. He writes peace. And so, you know, there was this story years ago. There was this competition that happened. It was a painting competition. How many of y'all were here like a couple weeks ago? We did our live painting with Olivia, and we had like our photographers. Oh man, it was awesome. We have so many artistic people here. And so there's this contest of this painting contest, and here was what they wanted you to paint. They said, whoever can paint the best picture of peace will win. And so people began to paint, and art began to come in from all over the place. And there was these pictures of like streams, and it was like peaceful. There was these pictures of like, you know, birds flying, and it was just like warm. There was pictures of sunsets, and you just knew peace. But then they revealed who the winner was. And it was interesting because when you looked at the picture, you didn't necessarily see peace. We have the picture. I don't know if it's like too small. It might be. Here we see this picture, and you see the waves crashing on the rocks, and you see lightning in the background. But what you can't see, because it's too small, is right there at the bottom. Right there at the bottom, there's this bird, and it's in the cleft of a rock. And it's sitting there with its little baby birds, and it's just chilling. It's like, just chilling. Among the waves and the lightning and the crashing. And they said, why did you pick this picture to win? That is the most unpeaceful thing I've ever seen. He said, because true peace, you see, true peace isn't the absence of the storm. It's finding rest within the storm. True peace, can I tell you, true peace doesn't come because you ain't got no drama in your life. True peace isn't because there's not times where you have to step out in faith. True peace isn't because there's times where you're not crying and all this stuff. No. True peace is where you can tap into the Prince of Peace, which is Jesus. True peace is when there is so much going on in your life, you don't know what to do, but yet you're okay because you have Jesus. And yet you're okay because you know He'll be with you through the flames. And yet you're okay because when you have Jesus, you have everything. That's what peace is. And so there's a lot going on in San Bernardino. There's a lot going on in your lives. There's a lot going on in your homes. And I just feel like maybe God just wanted to say, it's going to be okay. If you keep tapping into me, if you keep asking me, if you keep leaving the door wide open so that I can come into every part of your life, so that I can come into every relationship, so that I can come into those pieces that you thought could never be put back together, God's saying, I'm with you always. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to live in fear. You don't have to wonder what's coming next, what's going to get shot up next, what's going to happen. You don't have to think that way. Because there will be storms, like Jesus said. And there will be trouble. But Jesus, remember, he says, don't trip. Chill. I have overcome the world. Amen. There's one last verse in Lamentations. Lamentations. This is an interesting book if you've ever read it. It's written by Jeremiah. And he's writing, and in chapter 3, he writes the most crazy things I've ever read in the Bible. I'm like, oh my gosh, he was dramatic like me. And maybe some of you feel this way sometimes. He writes things like this. He feels besieged and surrounded with anguish and distress. He's talking about himself. He says, I feel buried in dark places like those who are long dead. He says things like this, though I cry and I shout, he feels like his prayers have been shut out by God. He says he feels like he's been dragged off the path and torn into pieces. It says that he feels like there's been arrows shot deep into his heart. He feels like people laugh at him and people mock him, that people talk about him behind his back. He says he feels like he's been rolled in the dust and peace has been stripped away from him, and that he has been forgotten, and he's forgotten what prosperity even is. Then he says this, and maybe some of us can remember how we feel, or maybe some of us in this room feel this way tonight. He says, my suffering is bitter beyond words, and I will never forget this awful time. I think we've all been there, where the pain in our life, you couldn't even put it into words. You couldn't even express it if you tried. Those times that you prayed to God and you said, God, please just answer me, and the next day, nothing. That's painful. The times where you trusted that this person would be there for you and then they were gone. That's painful. The times where you had a good job and you thought everything was okay and then you find out you're being let go. That's painful. And he says, my bitterness is beyond words. But he doesn't stop there. Can I just say, thank God he doesn't stop there. He says this in verse 21. He says, yet I still dare to hope. He says, listen, my pain is beyond words. The things I'm going through are so bad. But yet I still dare to hope when I remember this. The faithful love of the Lord never ends, and his mercies, they never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin fresh each morning. And I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in him. You see, our hope is not in our political system. Our hope is not in the job that you have. Our hope is not in the social status that you have. Our hope is in Jesus. And I just feel like God wanted to tell somebody, I don't care if it's just one person. I just feel like God wanted to tell somebody, he knows what you're going through. And he sees the pain that you're in. And he's right there in the flames with you. But I feel like he just needed to tell somebody tonight, please dare to hope. Just one more day. I feel like he just needed to tell somebody tonight, please, just dare to hope one more. Just say that prayer one more time. Just forgive that person. Oh, they may have done horrible things to you. They may have treated you so wrong, but I feel like God's saying, just forgive them one more time. Just step out one more time. Just dream. One, I know your dreams feel like they've been stolen from you. I know you feel like they've crashed right in front of you. But he's saying, just dream one more time. Just choose to love one more time. Dare to hope one last time. Keep going. Keep going. God's saying, just keep going. I don't know if it's in your marriage. I don't know if it's in a relationship. I don't know if it's in the relationship with God. You're saying, I'm this close to leaving God. Somebody in this room is this close to turning their back on God. God's saying, no, 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 don't stop. Just keep on going. I just want everyone to close their eyes real quick. I want this to be a personal time with Jesus. I feel like God really wanted to pray for some people tonight. And this is just between you and God, but maybe you're going through a time right now and you're saying it's just so hard. And you're saying, I just want to give up. Man, there's some things that are going on in my life right now, but I want to hope one more time, and I want to step out one more time, and I want to keep praying, and I want to keep believing. I want to pray for you tonight because there's something impactful about spending time in the house of God and praying for each other. So with everyone's eyes closed, if that's you, I just want you to get your hand up so we can pray for you. I see that hand. I see that hand. Hands everywhere. Keep your hands up. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, God. And God, I thank you, God, for your church. God, I thank you that these are your people that you've called by name. I thank you, God, that you know what they're going through. You know the struggles they're in. You know the disappointments that they've seen. But I thank you right now that you would just pour out faith in them. Oh, Jesus, that you would pour out, God, your goodness over them. I thank you right now that they would be encouraged. Oh, Holy Spirit, you would wash over them like living water. That, God, they will not be depressed. They will not be anxious. They will not be in fear. They will not have doubts. But I thank you right now, you overwhelm them with faith, God, that they would keep on going, Father, that God, you would put the vision in front of them and that they will not stop. I thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Everyone, just keep your eyes closed real quick. I just want to make sure that everybody is right with God in this room. I just want to make sure that everybody is in a relationship with Jesus. Because here's the thing, remember I said, there's a difference between God pursuing you and you being in a relationship with God. There's a difference between Him chasing you and you doing life with Him. Some of you, God has been chasing you for too long. You've been trying to Jesus juke Him for too long. And God's saying, this is it. This is your time. This is your night to give your life to Jesus. We saw 2 weeks ago that tomorrow is promised to no one. We saw 2 weeks ago how fragile life can be. That it can be gone, but in a moment. So I want to make sure that you are right with God. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that. In just a moment, I'm going to ask you to raise your hands. And we're just going to say a simple prayer together. That's it. You see, you don't get right with God by sitting in a church, and you don't get right with God because you read your Bible, and you don't get right with God because you're a good person. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that. But you see what you do. The Bible says that you have to accept Jesus as your Lord and as your Savior, that you need to enter into a relationship with Him. And when you do that, you become born again, you become a Christian, and you start following after Him. So if that's you in this place, that while the message is happening, God was just speaking to you. If that's you in this place, you could just feel it in your heart. You need to give your life to God. Then tonight is your night. Tonight is your night to say, listen, God, I've been messing up. I've been running from you. But God, I want you to do life with me and I need you. You see, the reality is this, is that God doesn't care what you've done. He doesn't care who you've been. That doesn't matter to Him because guess what? He already knows and He's already forgiven you. He's just waiting for you to come to Him. You see, oftentimes we say, I'll clean myself up first. Let me get right and then I'll come to God. God's saying, no, no, no. I want to do that with you. I want to help you. That's what He's for. Jesus came. He died on the cross for you and me, for our sins, for our mistakes. And He rose again for us. And He's just waiting for you to accept the gift of salvation. You don't get saved because you're good enough. You don't get saved because you're smart enough. You don't get saved because you call yourself a Christian. You get saved because you make Him your Lord and your Savior and you start following after Him. So if that's you in this place, if you feel like you need to get right with God, when I count to three, I'm just going to slam my hand on my Bible and you just get your hand up. This is between you and God. You may say, yeah, but people are with me. I might be embarrassed or people already think I'm saved. And you know what? That doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is when you're standing before God at the end of your life and He says, did you give your life to me? And you can proudly say, yes, I followed you, Jesus. Because the reality is this, if you can't say yes to that question, if you don't give your life to God, when eternity comes, there's only two places you can go, to heaven or to hell. And if you are not saved, if you are not born again, the Bible says you cannot enter into heaven with God. but you'll be cast into hell for eternity. And nobody wants to go to hell. That's not a place anybody wants to be part of. So make the right decision today. The Holy Spirit is calling you. It's not by accident that you're here tonight. God has a plan for you. So when I count to three, I just want you to get your hand up. This is your moment. This is your night of salvation. This is your opportunity to start over with God. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. When I count to three, just get your hand up. One, two, three. Just get your hand up. I see that hand. I see that hand. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven people. Anybody else? Maybe you're saying, I was going to raise my hand, but I missed it, and now I'm embarrassed. Hey, no one's eyes are even open. It's okay. Don't miss your opportunity. Awesome. Praise God. Praise God. So listen, this is what we're going to do. I want everybody to stand up. Here's the truth. You don't get saved because you raise your hand. You get saved because you enter into relationship with Jesus. So what I want to do is I want to invite everybody who rose their hand. I'm going to ask you to do something bold. I'm going to ask you to do something crazy, but I'm going to remind you that Jesus is worth it. So if you rose your hand, I want you to make your way to the front so that we can pray with you. So come on up. Come on up. Come on up. Awesome. Awesome. This is the best decision of your life. You know, there's this verse in the Bible and it says, God has so many plans for us and he's been waiting. He's been waiting for this day. He's been waiting for you to step out, make him your Lord and your Savior. And he has so many plans. I don't even think your calendar can handle it, okay? So this is what we're going to do. We're going to send you back with some of my homies. They're going to pray with you. They're going to offer you a Bible. If you need a Bible or if you need someone to pray with, hey, that's what they're there for, okay? Nothing weird's going to happen. Curtis's sweater's kind of weird besides that. Just kidding. I love it. I want it. They're going to pray with you. Is that cool? Yeah? All right. Let's give them a hand. You guys can go back there with them. What was that? You can walk through the door if you want. Yeah, go ahead. He said, can I walk through the door? That's right. Come on, Jesus. I love it. And after service, anybody can walk through the door as well. I'll be charging $1. That's all. Small fee. Listen, this is what I want to do real quick. I want to go back into worship. Because we're not going to go for long. And if the band's coming, I can jump on the drums, Guppy. Guppy, I read your favorite verse tonight. Were you happy? Okay. That's John 16:33 is Guppy's favorite verse. I know. So listen, I want to go back into worship because I feel like God isn't done yet. I feel like maybe some of us just need some time with Jesus. I just feel like maybe God needs some time where we worship or maybe you pray. But, you know, before tonight, I said, God, I just want you to speak to us. God, I just want you to become real to those who kind of were wondering, God, when am I going to feel you again? When am I going to feel okay again? When am I going to feel that peace again? And so we're just going to go back in and we're going to sing the song that Jesus, I don't know the words, Jesus, I love you, or something like that. It's like my favorite song. I'm not kidding. That's all I listen to. But I want to go back and I want to open up the altars and I want to encourage you to come and just worship. To come and just lift up Jesus. There is something that happens when you step out and when you worship. Now, some of y'all have never worshiped in your life. Some of y'all, you know, you kind of do like the back and forth thing, you know, the swing and all that. But I want to encourage you to just stop thinking about what everybody else is doing. To stop thinking about everyone else who's looking at you, because they're not, their eyes are closed. And just take time with God tonight, because your spirit is longing to worship Jesus. And so I'm going to pray, and if you guys want to come up to worship, you can. And this is a time where you can come before God, and maybe the message was speaking to you about something. This is your time to talk to Jesus. Man, God, I'm going through it. Man, God, I feel like lamentations that I'm going to be dragged through the dirt. I feel like my bitterness is beyond words. Guess what? Jesus wants to minister to you tonight, and he wants to speak to you. So as I pray, if you want to come up to this altar, it is open to worship. We're just going to worship Jesus, because Jesus is everything, because Jesus is with us always, because Jesus is with us through the pain and the flames and the fire, and he will never leave us or forsake us. So let us pray. God, we thank you that we serve a good God. God, I thank you that we serve a God who doesn't abandon us when things get rough, who doesn't abandon us, God, when we make mistakes. But I thank you that we serve a God who is with us through the fire. We serve a God that we are proud to say, I will not bow, but I will stand, because God is worthy. Thank you, Jesus, that you reveal to us right now that you are everything to us, that nothing else matters when we have Jesus, that you are the prize, that you are the reward. You are as deep as it gets. You are as good as it gets. We can't get any more than Jesus. So God, we just want to worship you in this time. We just want to lift you up as holy and worthy. So let's sing, church. Let's lift up Jesus.
In your presence I quiet my soul, and I hear your voice. In my spirit I hear the sound of salvation song. Jesus, cause I love you with all my soul. I love you with all my strength, with all that is within me. Cause I see, cause you saved my soul, and I'll sing of your love.
All my soul.
God just wants to do something. I want to encourage you tonight to pray some bold prayers. To pray for something that you've been believing for, something you stopped praying for. I want you to dare to hope one more time. I want you to dare to pray that prayer that you said, but I've been praying it for a long time, Beth. I've been believing for a long time. But God's saying, just pray it one more time. Just hope one more week. Just dream one more year. Just keep going. So real quick, the band's gonna play, and I want you just to pray to God. I want you just to speak things out. Hey, January is coming, and it's a new year, and this could be a new year for you if we let God in, if we let Him be a part of it. So I want you to pray bold prayers. I want you to pray wild prayers. I want you to pray prayers that you know in your heart, oh my gosh, I don't even know if I have the faith to believe this. Then pray it. Because we serve a God who is big. We serve a God who has scripted peace and everlasting life. We serve a God who even the chains of death couldn't keep in the tomb. That's my Jesus. So I want you to pray a bold prayer. Band, go ahead and play. And this is your time with Jesus. Trusting others. other people have let us down, God, but you will never leave us and you will never forsake us. Can we just lift up Jesus tonight? Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy. You know, service is not over, but before we sit down, I just feel like we gotta have some fun real quick. Is that okay? Can we worship a little bit longer? All right.
Again, and all of your love, and all of your love. My praise, it belongs to you, and every heart, and every heart. And I won't pass this moment by. No, I just want to praise you.
Here we go.
Because of you.
Come on, put your hands together tight. Come on.
My heart is alive.
Come on, everybody.
You got me dancing on the inside. Your love has won me over again. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Me with your joy over again and over again. I give every part of me. I'm giving it all. I'm giving it all. And I won't pass this moment by. No, and I just want to praise you.
Because of you.
Because of you. My heart is alive. My heart is alive. You got me dancing on the inside. Your love has won me over again. Cause of you, my heart is alive. My heart is alive. You got me dancing on the inside. Your love has won me over again. Whoa.
Next week we're having a party. We got a ton of things happening over winter. So go ahead and take a seat real quick, and then service will be on in just a second. Let's give it up for the one, the only, Pastor Joe.
Ooh, I'll tell you what, it's good to be in the house of God tonight. Can I get an amen up in here? Amen. I'll tell you what too, Beth, you did an amazing job. That was a great word. I took some good notes. And if I could just real quick just share a couple of my favorites. One of my favorites was, I wrote it down, I'm going to use it. But don't worry, I'll give you credit at least a few times. All right. But one of them was, you know what? God may not keep you from the flame, but he'll be with you through the fire. I was like, dang, come on, preach. Preach, girl. And then the other one was, you know, peace is not found in the absence of a storm, but it's.